The Meanderings of the Emily Chesley Reading Circle is a book I have in front of me with some great pictures on it. It's hard to believe the remarkable life of Emily Chesley has been overlooked by historians and literary researchers alike. Years before H.G. Wells penned The War of the Worlds, Emily Chesley's prose was shattering Victorian assumptions and tweaking the nose of the class structure. An author, poet, social activist, explorer, aviatrix, and 92-year-old pole vaulter, Emily Chesley is one of Canada's most interesting and neglected writers. This literary travesty has finally been remedied by the Emily Chesley Reading Circle. Following 5 years of exhaustive research, the Circle presents the first issue of its semi-annual Meanderings. This extraordinary collection contains an abridged excerpt from Chesley's biography, Emily Chesley's Life of Speculation. The Circle also presents some of her short stories and poetry, including previously unpublished manuscripts and the winning entries of their annual Tundra Prize, there's a tongue twister, literary contest. I am amazed by this woman and also amazed that she has a connection to London, Ontario. And we have with us a man who knows a lot about this. He's a writer, acting secretary for this particular fan club, and his name is Mark Rayner. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Am I right in assuming that Emily hung out in London, Ontario?
She lived for quite a while in London, Ontario. She moved here in 1880, and she sort of didn't really pack up house until 1922 or so. And for about a good 20 solid years, she lived right here on Princess Ave.
Wow.
Yeah.
And were many women writing back then, and were many women writing speculative fiction back then?
There were some women writers, and, you know, we know about some of them. But there weren't many writing speculative fiction. In fact, there weren't many people writing speculative fiction at all. So it's a double whammy, really, for us.
We refer to speculative fiction today, we'd be calling it science fiction.
I think science fiction. Mm-hmm. Some people use the term when they talk about fantasy, and she wrote a little bit of both. Mostly she was a science fiction writer, but I would say she was more of a satirist or someone who was trying to parody things and sort of get in the face of the Victorian class structure, as you said there at the opening.
Mm-hmm. I was reading the back cover of the book. Now, the photograph of her on the cover is just beautiful. This is quite a spirited young lady.
She was. She was born in 1856. And
where?
In England, mm-hmm. Though her mother was Irish and her father was English. And then shortly after she was born, her mother took her back to Ireland. And then she lived in Ireland for a while. And then after that, they immigrated to first the United States, and then moved into Canada shortly after that. They weren't very welcome in the States, so they were asked politely to leave.
Any particular reason, political reasons, social reasons?
It was more social reasons than anything else. Emily was quite a high-spirited girl and was a little overly friendly with some of the husbands in this little town in North Dakota.
Racy stuff.
It's pretty racy stuff. She got around a little bit, yeah. But that was part of her thing, was she didn't really want to sit sort of in the place that the class had created for her. She was always trying to find ways to break out of that.
Now, how unusual was her behavior for that society and that day and age? How many people would be able to break out of their class structures and do what they wanted to do?
Very few, and for her it wasn't necessarily a happy thing all the time. She, when they first moved to London, she and her uncle, because her mother died.
London, Ontario, I mean, it's still considered fairly conservative, and I'm sure back then it was even more conservative.
It was extremely conservative back mm-hmm. then. So, yeah, at first she tried to fit in with sort of what they would call in those days polite society, but her fondness for hanging out with hirsute cavalrymen sort of made her a figure of fun. And quite often the finer ladies in town would call her that Irish dirt cutter.
And how does a woman of leisure, or a woman of the partying life, decide to start writing?
Well, part of it came out of her being rejected by society here in London. And she sort of had this very... We have a chapter in the book called The Dark Side of the Moon, which makes more sense after you've read the previous chapter about the Victoria disaster. which we can talk about as well.
Mm-hmm.
But
where many people drowned.
Many people drowned, yeah. Mm-hmm. And more would have drowned if Emily hadn't been there.
Oh.
She saved quite a few young men that day, which people don't know. In fact, she's such a scandalous personage in London that really she's been excised from the historical record. People other than the Emily Chesley Reading Circle would say she never existed.
That's a typical example of how our culture differs from the United States. If she was in the United States, I'm sure she'd have made-for-TV movies by now, and you know,
well,
many actresses would be clamoring to play her role.
If there's any producers out there listening to this, yes, definitely they could talk to us about making a made-for-TV movie. She'd be perfect.
92-year-old pole vaulter?
Yeah, she was part of a family, the Flanagan family, and we haven't really talked about her uncle much, but he's kind of a central figure in her life. Her father was a war hero in the Crimean War and died quite valorously.
This is like the Charge of the Light Brigade War.
Yeah, the same war.
Mm-hmm.
And he died at Balaclava.